Going.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to call a meeting of the Board of Supervisors and the Redevelopment Authority to order. Today is Thursday, September 5th, 2019. It is 8:30 a.m. We're in the Community Center at the Sierra Room at 851 East William Street in Carson City. We're also streaming on the internet, and if you get cable TV, we're on the public access channel. Can we have a roll call, please? Aubrey, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
Good morning. Supervisor Diomi?
I'm here.
Supervisor Bonkowski?
Also here.
Supervisor Bagwell?
Here.
Supervisor Barrett?
Here.
Mayor Kroll?
Here. Thank you, Aubrey. Could we call our good friend Bruce Henderson to start us on the right foot today?
Let's pray. Father, there's a lot going on in our world today. Devastating storms, loss of property, the drug wars continue, Lord. Families are having a hard time making it, Lord, salaries these days. And yet when I left the house this morning, Lord, there was a spirit of freshness after the rains, Lord. I find that sometimes we get in a rut. And I would ask today, Father, for each one of us an attitude of freshness and openness to what you have in store for us this day. We pray that. We ask to open our eyes to your blessings everywhere. Bless this meeting today. Bless our hearts and our minds as we try to see things freshly again. We pray these things in your precious and holy name.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. I think everybody realizes that yesterday after the rain, who walked out to smell it? It is a fresh smell. You know, it's invigorating. Thanks, Bruce. Okay. Sherry, can you raise your right hand? Would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sherry. All right.
Pressure.
Let's now take up item number 5, public comment. This is the time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of this body. Anybody? We also take public comment on each individual where it's appropriate, and sometimes it's not because it's a personnel matter or some other type of appeal. We take public comment on when we're going through the day, and we'll take it at the beginning and the end of redevelopment and at the end of the day on the board agenda. Anybody? I don't see anybody. Okay. Let's take up item 6, possible approval of the minutes of August 1st, 2019. Everybody had a chance to read them? Motion's in order.
I move to approve the minutes of August 1, 2019 with a small correction on item number 5, listing Kara Strasser.
Very good. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing and seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take up the consent agenda. I think I'd like to pull item 9B. I see Eric is here. That's the additions to the community center. Anybody else want to pull anything? Go ahead.
I think we should just pull 8A just to clarify that it's late material.
Okay, we'll do that. So we'll pull 8A for the general agenda, and we'll pull 9B. Anybody in the audience want anything pulled for special consideration or part of the regular agenda? I don't see anybody. Okay, so let's take up the consent agenda. It now has one item on it. That's item number 9A. Motion, Supervisor Budkowski.
I move to approve the consent agenda. Consent agenda consisting of one item, item 9A.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Thank you. Okay. Let's now take up item 9, 8A on the regular agenda. Supervisor Bagwell, you want to say what's going on here? Or Sherry, you want to do it? Ms. Russell?
Who wants to do it? Sure. And I apologize for this. We have a new ERP system, and we created this new report for our condition of the treasury report.
It made some money.
We did. We're doing good.
That's a good program.
Yeah, it was temporary. So at the last meeting, it had the fund and then all the numbers, but did not include the description of the fund. So we asked them to change the report and include the description of the fund, and they didn't quite get that done. So the description of the fund was just copied from an old one. So from 275, what says the infrastructure tax, that should actually be the grant fund, 280 the commissary fund, 295 the 9/11 or 287 the 9/11 surcharge, 295 is the arts and culture fund, and 310 is actually the infrastructure tax fund. So just one fund got flipped up a little bit. That was okay. The only change. All the numbers are correct with the fund number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Public comment? Anybody? Motion's in order.
I move to approve item 8A as the late material submitted.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion.
Just want to let you know we do look at them. See?
Hearing that, all in favor?
I had a lot of money.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay, carried. Let's take up 9 Alpha. Eric, come on up.
B.
9B. 9B. Man, I'm on the Alphas and Bravos today. 9B, come on up. Carol, I think we got the top line. Eric, why don't you just tell, somewhere there's when the news came out, it says we're spending 80 grand for a microphone. And I got to agree, that's probably a gold-plated microphone. But why don't you tell us what $80,000 is going to buy?
Eric Klug, Recreation.
Why we need it.
Eric Klug, Recreation Program Manager. So the mics that we're getting, or that we've requested here, is from Shure. Shure has one of the best repair in place policies out there, so that's one of the reasons that we went with that company. Now, the mics specifically, they are towards the top end. They fall into what's called the professional grade versus consumer grade. I am familiar with the conversation that happened on Carson Now, and the mics that were suggested are the consumer grade. So the difference is in quality, reliability, durability, and functionality. The quality of a consumer grade tends to be plastic, whereas the pro grade tends to be metal. So they take drops, which we get a lot of, especially since we deal with high schoolers. In quality, it provides a stronger signal, a cleaner signal. Sound is just like a computer. You put bad signal in, you get bad signal out. You put good signal in, you get good signal out. I can take the best singer, put him on a consumer-grade product, and not going to get a good product out of it. I could take an okay singer, and with a few tweaks of the board on a quality mic, and I can get a decent sound to a good sound. With the reliability, on a consumer grade, it tends to be a shorter signal distance that this broadcasting, that they're expecting, kind of around about 10 to 40 feet. On the pro grades, they're looking to be able to broadcast upwards of 100, 150 feet. And with the theater, we have to keep the sound equipment back in the sound booth. We don't have the luxury of putting it on the stage because of props and set pieces. So we're broadcasting upwards of 90 to 100 feet, depending on where they are on the stage. And then functionality. So with the consumer grade, a lot of times it's a fixed frequency. And sometimes they are frequency agile, which means that you can move it within a set range on the frequency spectrum. Other times, it's just fixed. And we have to buy them by each individual frequency. With the pro grade, we can buy, they're all frequency agile, so we just buy a range and then we can set them wherever we need to. This also allows us to deal with additional wireless, such as the 27 mics that we added to this room that could end up competing with the theater if we were on fixed frequencies. And with the broadcast distance and the reliability of a consumer grade, it tends to be more susceptible to interference from cell phones, TV stations, you know, as the licensing moves around. Whereas with a pro grade, it's a stronger signal, so it's not as susceptible to the frequency or to the interference from other frequencies. So what we're getting here is 16 channels of the Shure Axient system. We spec this system based off of its durability, the fact that it's a Shure company product, so with their customer service, their repair and replace plan, and also off of the features that we're going to get with this that we feel are important for the theater. So we get four receivers that are four channels each for 16 channels total. Plus we're getting 18 body-worn packs and four wireless handheld transmitters. We're getting 18 so that way we have some backups, so that way if one fails and we do have to send it back, we can continue operating at 16. The chances of that are very slim in the 9.5 years that I've been the primary tech and in my current position of the theater. We've only had to send two transmitters back, and we've been using the Pro Grade for about 20 years now. Just two different systems, both from Shure, because they discontinued one. Mm-hmm. One of the items that we're getting is specific to the system. It is a spectrum manager. What this does is it monitors the spectrum and all the frequencies on that spectrum for interference. Should it detect interference, it will automatically move the microphones to a different frequency that's not interfering. We feel that this is a crucial component, and it is only available with this system, because now with having additional wireless mics in here, other people wanting to bring their own wireless in to add to the channel count that we have, and with the available unlicensed space that we have to operate in as it gets smaller as they sell off license. And we're considered low power transmitters, so the FCC will not license us unless we're operating 50 or more wireless at one time. So we have to operate in the unlicensed, and as that gets more crowded and smaller, we feel this is a crucial component as it'll help keep us from competing with other people and keep us in legal operating frequencies. We're also getting the antenna distribution system. This system, typical receivers require two antennas. This system allows us to combine all of the antennas into just two wall mount antennas instead of having, in this case, it would be eight antennas for the receivers. With the ProGrade equipment, one of the things that we have and with the functionality is we can network into the computer. So we've got access points and switchers built into here. These have been spec'd out by the manufacturer. This will allow us to interface with the mics in real time through a tablet or through a computer, where typically you would have to interface with the face of the receiver and then sync the mic up, or you have to go on stage and then work with the mic. So this just allows us, you know, if there's an issue while the actor's on stage, simply pull up that mic and drag our finger to make a fix instead of running to the stage. The other things that are in here is this system uses rechargeable batteries. So about a quarter of this is actually just the chargers and the charging modules. So the way Shure works is they build a base charger, and then you buy the individual modules for each wireless battery or rechargeable battery that you're going to be using. With this too, right now we buy AA batteries for our current system. This will also represent a savings to the community center of about $700 a year, as we use two AA batteries per transmitter, per performance, and then afterwards it goes into a rehearsal stock and can be used during rehearsals or for flashlights, computer mice, wireless keyboards, but we can no longer guarantee them for a performance. So we will see a cost savings on that. Then the other one that we have in here is we do have a mixer. This, our old mixer is up to 12 years old now, and it is using a CobraNet card. So just like what we ran into Fuji, the card is no longer repairable. But the board itself, which is a pro-grade board from Yamaha, is still repairable. In fact, I just got parts for it in June. But they don't make any cards for it anymore. So in order to interact at full functionality with this new system, we need a new board and a new processor that's also in here that is up to the new protocols. Okay. And then we have some cables and stands for connecting the antennas and all of our microphone stands. The rubber pieces that are in the pivot point are getting worn out. So when you put a microphone on it, the weight causes the boom to start to drop. So this is just to get us a few new stands to go with the new handheld transmitters. And then we just have the network switchers and the access points.
Eric, I heard you say that the mixing board, the current mixing board, is repairable, but we're proposing to replace it. So would the old board then be sold or repurposed? And if it is to be sold, do you have any idea what the value is on it?
So it would actually be repurposed. What we do is we keep it as a backup board in case this board goes down and we have to set it out. And we just run it at a reduced functionality until the new board returns from repair. Or when we have a band that comes in that requires a front-of-house mixer, so what the audience hears, and a monitor mixer for what the band hears. We pull it out for that because of its channel count.
Okay. Any other questions on the board? Public comment on this? Well done, Eric. And you look good in a suit, you know, as well as you look in a kilt. That's all right. You know, the next time you come, though, we want you in a kilt. All right. Board, are we ready for a motion? Supervisor Bunkowski.
I move to approve the purchase as requested.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion.
Please.
Discussion's in order.
I'd just like to note that this, the purchase of these items was approved previously through the CIP process. It is budgeted. We did plan for this. And so, although it's always good that people question what we're doing and take a look at it, which I appreciate, you know, there's actually been a lot of thought and effort put into this.
Well said. Okay. Any other comments or discussion? John?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that learned a long time ago that tires, shoes, and sound equipment are just about as high a priority as you can get for getting good stuff. I'm sure Stacy can agree with that, having been in broadcasting himself back in the day.
Tires, shoes, and broadcasting. Okay.
Performance art.
All right, got it. All right. Any other comments on the motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Thank you very much. Thank you, Carol. All right. Let's now take up item 11A. This is discussion of possible action regarding the appointment of three members of the HRC, Historic Resources Commission, due to expiring terms, each for a term expiring February 2023. We have three positions, and we have three appointees that would desire to be reappointed. There are no other applicants for this board or these positions. Any public comment on this issue? Anybody want to raise anything? Board? I think we can just go ahead and vote on this if it's okay with the board, and we just... So, unless there's an objection, we'll take a motion to approve all three as being reappointed to the HRC. Go.
I move to appoint Lou Ann Drews, Dr. Gregory Hayes, and Jed Block, each to fill a four-year term expiring in February 2023.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing and seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay. Let's take up 11 Bravo. This is a discussion and possible action regarding the appointment of Nancy, our city manager, as the acting public guardian, effective September 5th until the appointment of a new public guardian is done by the Board of Supervisors. That's our appointment. Any questions from the board on this? This is temporary. Public comment? Don't see any. We'll take a motion to approve the city manager as the acting public guardian.
I move to appoint Nancy Paulson, city manager, as acting public guardian, effective September 5, 2019, until the appointment of a new public guardian by the Board of Supervisors.
There's a motion in a couple seconds. On the motion discussion, hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Let's take up the Airport Authority. This is possible action regarding authorization to apply for a lot line adjustment. Ken, you want to tell us what the top line of this one is? And the bottom line while you're here.
Adjusting line.
Good morning, Supervisors, Mayor, Staff.
235 square feet. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not that big.
That's what it is.
But it is complicated, apparently.
It is.
Yes, thank you for your time this morning on this item. As you know, Sierra Skyway LLC built six new hangars at the Carson City Airport, and they just received their certificate of occupancy in July. The one of the items that came up during construction was the placement of fire riser buildings, and those weren't originally in the scope of the lot. And so we worked with them to put them right outside of the lot itself, and with the determination coming back and making a lot line adjustment to accommodate that 235 feet. So we're asking today for the board's authorization to apply for a lot line adjustment and work with the City Planning Department to complete that.
Okay. Public comment? Board, anybody? Motion's in order.
I move to authorize the Carson City Airport Authority Board Chairman to initiate and sign the lot line adjustment as requested.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Thank you, Ken. It was good to see you out at Empire School, too.
Yes, it was. I appreciate that opportunity.
So how about that? Reach for the stars. Ought to use that as a new logo for the airport.
What part? I missed that first
part. Oh, I said, you know, reach for the stars. That's what they're doing at Empire. Maybe you put that on your...
I always say, why not just go to the moon since it's right there?
And, you know, for everybody, you know, we were asked the other day, where was it, Ms. Paulson? Who was asking us if they could, wanted to, if we had projects to take care of?
WNC.
WNC. I'm going, you've got too many things in my brain, too many balls in here. But anyway, there are people, WNC is looking for some projects to do community involvement. They're going to take a look at, I think, at the airport for your entrance. Preferably they do more than just weeding and stuff like that. So when they meet with you, if they do, I'd say you see what you guys can do to spruce up the entrance.
I've already met with them on a different level. I met with the president and a couple of the other foundation director, Nikki Gladys, and we chatted about some aviation programs at the university. But yes, as a matter of fact, Mark Salinas came out to visit the airport after the Empire ribbon cutting, and we were doing some brainstorming. And so, yeah, it's high on our priority list. One of the things the board, Airport Authority Board approved this year was a landscape design plan. So we're working with a local landscape contractor about
that. Okay. Well, get on the list because there are probably a lot of people, you know.
It sounds great. I'll check with Nancy about the contact up there and follow that process.
All right.
Thanks for your time.
I
appreciate
it. We're thinking about you.
Always a pleasure.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's take up the RFP on this is 13 Alpha. This is discussion and possible action regarding a request for proposals on for the development of 3410 Buddeye Way for affordable slant workforce housing and direction to staff for the publication of an RFP in order to seek the proposals from qualified developers through a competitive process. Who's going to open this up, Dan? Are you Deputy City Manager yet?
Not yet, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. For the record, Stephanie Hicks, Real Property Manager. Dan Stuckey, City Engineer, is also here with me today, but I don't start in my official capacity as Deputy City Manager until the 19th. So thank you for that opportunity as well.
All right, very good. All right, go.
Okay, so we're actually very excited to bring forward to you this RFP for discussion. It's something that has been in the works for about the last year. The city has been looking at property that we have in our holdings that's no longer needed for public purposes. And one of the needs that everyone is very aware of is workforce and affordable housing within the city. So this particular parcel is located at 3410 Buddeye Way. It's just north of our corporate public works yard. It is west of Fairview. And we're looking at about 6.31 acres that would be available for this project. The remaining of that parcel is being reserved at this point for a potential future fire station or emergency operations center. So back in January, we did come forward to the board and were directed by the board to prepare due diligence for this project, to take a look at any existing constraints. And since that time, we have acquired a title report. We were able through NNDA, through an EPA grant, to have a phase one environmental completed, as well as a reuse plan. They did take it to the next step of that evaluation because there was an old road that actually ran through the center of the parcel, kind of from north to south. And there were some debris piles along that area, and they just wanted to ensure that there wasn't anything of issue in the environmental, and the property has been cleared from that perspective. So that has been completed and is part of the packet. And then we also had an appraisal completed, which valued the property at $755,000. So today, we wanted to bring forward for discussion what we've prepared as far as an RFP. I'm just going to kind of go through a very high-level overview. I'm sure you guys recognize that the packet was quite large itself, but the RFP was the smaller part of that. A lot of that was the due diligence. But when we sat down to start this process, we actually treated the site in comparable to what we would do for a major project review. So we brought together all of the different city departments that would review if the developer came in for a proposed project. And we really wanted to identify as much as we could for them so that they could bring to us some viable and successful proposals. So just a few, again, high-level points that we wanted to discuss is that the site is currently zoned public regional, but it has a master plan of high-density residential. So any future development for affordable or workforce housing would require a rezoning to multifamily. There are utilities in proximity to the site, so whether that be gas, water, sewer, power, but those utilities must be extended or relocated by the proposers at their expense. There are two storm drainage channels and one detention basin also on the site that either will need to be incorporated into the design or, again, relocated. And then staff is requiring that a traffic impact study will be necessary to evaluate the levels of service at the surrounding intersections. We know there's some other residential development that is coming into the west of this project, and so that will have to be considered in the design of this project as it moves forward. Some of our development objectives These were the more significant ones. Of course, affordability is the reason that we're bringing this project forward. And we have indicated in the RFP that we would like to see a number of the units be at 30% area median income, at 60% area median income, and a majority of the units to be at or below 80%. We didn't put exact numbers to any of those because we recognize that there may be a need for market rate units to make the project viable. And we also wanted to leave it open enough that the different prospective proposers can be creative in design and let us know, give us the best project is what we're looking for. As far as project's size, the development may include up to the maximum allowable number of units under the land use policies. But I think realistically, in looking at the site constraints, we would anticipate that a very dense project could result in about 160 multifamily units. Again, looking for what creative designs can be incorporated. As far as length of affordability term, the city desires it to be long-term affordable, and so we're looking at a minimum of 50 years. This restriction might be in the form of a deed restriction with required reporting, but we are also allowing the proposers to give us a mechanism to ensure that the property is used for that purpose. Likewise, with the term of land conveyance, there are a couple different ways that we could convey the property. Somebody may offer us to purchase the property. It might be something that we convey at no cost, or there might be a long-term lease. So again, we're leaving those opportunities and options open for discussion. And we do have a provision in there for local preference. You know, we would like to see the project include a preference for both Carson City residents and employees, of course, in accordance with state and federal law. And we'd like to give strong consideration to proposals that serve workforce housing and require tenants to be working within the city boundaries. So those are just some other things that we are will be looking for. We did provide some of the NRS requirements. You know, the board is authorized under NRS to convey property, but there are certain provisions that we have to follow in order to do so. So the two primary statutes that we included in the RFP are 244.284, which allows lease or conveyance to a corporation for public benefit, and the second one being 244.287, which authorizes the city to convey its property to a nonprofit organization specifically for the development of affordable housing. That second NRS does have some requirements to meet the 80% of medium household income. So there's definitely a more restrictions in that second provision, and there is even I guess what you'd consider a reversionary allowance in there that the board could take action to return the property to the city if it's not being used for that purpose. And while these are the two that we felt most fit the intention of what we're trying to do with this project, we are still leaving it open for the proposers to suggest another option, but again, according to NRS, so that we can meet those statutory requirements. Pending feedback from the board and any revisions or modifications that we need to make, we are looking to hopefully release the RFP the end of next week. We plan to have a mandatory pre-proposal project meeting that will start at the Public Works building, and then we'll all walk across the street to the site, tour the site. We'll be answering questions orally at that point, but we will have another deadline for written questions to be submitted early October, just so we give ample time for questions and feedback, and we'll post those October 10th. The RFP submittal deadline tentatively will be October 24th, and then by November 7th, we'd like to notify the top three ranking proposers and bring those forward to the board at the second meeting in November for final selection. We don't plan to bring more than three to the board. If there's a big gap between two and three, we may only bring you the top two, but the final selection will be done here at the Board of Supervisors. Following selection, there's still a lot more work to do. So once that proposer is selected, then we will work with them. City staff will work with them to further develop their project, begin land entitlement processes, conduct some community outreach. And then we've identified a development agreement as what we think may be the best tool to really set up the agreement between the city and the developer. And that would establish the preliminary terms for the sale or other possessory interest and any other project prerequisites. Again, the development agreement would be brought forward to the board for review and approval. And then following approval of the development agreement, the selected proposal would then complete their land entitlement process, finalize any financing for the project, and then obtain building permits and other required agency approvals. You know, these final steps are definitely subject to some finessing and refinement, as this is, you know, the first time we've gone through this process. It's very exciting, and we're glad to have the opportunity to bring it forward to you. Dan and I are both available for any questions that you may have and for discussion further on the RFP.
Any questions of the board? Stacy, go.
Can you go back to the map real quick? I have a quick question about, sorry to take you all the way back there. The far left end, the far west end, is that not included in the parcel? Is it detention basin? Is it not buildable?
That piece of property is actually a separate parcel under private ownership, so okay. It is not owned by the city.
Okay, good.
Lori?
So my question is just on procedural, once we design or work in the development agreement, that we have like maybe time constraints, so that a person can't drag it out 2 years before they're properly applying for each of the steps. So I just want a reminder in there because I don't want to hold the property out, and we should have gone with proposer number two. So just that we have some conditions in the development agreement that deal with you have so long to apply for the special use permit to make it a, you know, I would just caution to put some of that in there so that the project can move along and not be probably already going to be a year or two, but let's not make it five.
Absolutely. We agree with that. And in fact, in section 4.1.10, we note that we are looking for a compressed time frame, and that part of what we will be evaluating and ranking on is a schedule that can be provided that it's also feasible and reasonable, but that will make every effort to do it quickly.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Stacey, I probably stepped on you there.
Stephanie, I spoke to you through Nancy about just putting something in there about that portion of NRS where it's clear to the developer that if their conditions change, that the land will revert to the city. The city will take action to. And you said you were going to put something similar to that in there, so I just wanted to put that on the record.
Yes, absolutely. I'll add that to section 4.1.11.
Okay. And my other comment was about the review committee. And I know that you indicated there's going to be one outside person, and you discussed the possibility of using someone from another governmental entity. And I would really like to see someone, if you can get them, from a municipality that's done something like this, as opposed to grabbing someone from one of our adjoining counties who we have a relationship with, but really has never been involved with this. So I'd love to see someone from, you know, either Clark County or Washer County or an agency that's done something similar to this, because I think their insight will be very helpful. And finally, I'm dang impressed with this document. You guys have done a wonderful job.
John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question from somebody who knows next to nothing about development. The acreage here, 160 be the top, you say, which would be pretty dense. Of course, that's not set in stone. That we look at the RFPs. To you and to Brad, is that really dense, heavily dense, or you know, would 150 be better? I don't know what I'm asking, actually.
We looked at the consideration of what would be allowed under the multifamily apartments, and I would consider that to be pretty dense. However, if we can get the biggest bang for our buck and these are affordable and those houses are needed, that's really what we're looking for. There certainly are site constraints, and the parcel itself is relatively narrow, so it will take a creative design to get there, but we wouldn't anticipate seeing something more than that. But again, they'd be allowed to develop to the allowable density if it worked out.
Further comments of the board?
Since John specifically asked what I thought, it's not the maximum density, and there's other site requirements that they're going to have to comply with for open space parking that'll restrict what they can build. So it really comes down to design, but it seems to be a manageable project at that density.
Thank you. Anything else from the board? Public comment? Anybody want to weigh in? Mr. Schnabel, Ed, how are the veterans today?
Mr. Mayor, board members, Ed Schnabel, President of Carson City Veterans Village. We've reviewed.
Can you turn your microphone on, sir?
Sorry. Good morning again. Ed Schnabel, President of Carson City Veterans Village. My board members and I have reviewed the draft RFP, and we would recommend and urge the board to adopt it. We think it's a good piece of work. And, of course, we are interested in it.
Okay, Ed, thank you. Anybody else?
He left it on. Thank you. Good morning, Mayor.
I got your note, by the way.
Oh, thank you, sir. And board, thank you very much. I'm sorry for being late. I missed the preset on this discussion. I'm not used to driving. My scheduling was off. But the deal is that I'm concerned about air quality. Those are concerns, noise quality, development, traffic issues that have not been covered with what you just mentioned while I was here. And they may have already been covered, so I can review that with her later. The next thing is I'd like to thank several people that have helped me get a better understanding of how the master plan would impact our water and our sewer, because I've read several articles about both and wanted to make sure that their capacity levels would be able to grow with the master plan development and in encouraging more people into the community. I'd like to thank the people at the utilities office, Amy, Shelley, and Tanya for helping get me a hold of Eddie Quan. I'm so sorry. Thank you. You got it. And Mr. Andy Hanna, Hummel, excuse me. And they were very helpful in addressing my concerns to the point where they could tell me how many gallons and how many years out we still have capacity, because I was concerned with the capacity issues and the lack of water to flow these, or I guess to float these ideas and concept of new development. But I still need to do some homework on the air quality and the noise. The freeway impacted me greatly. It blocked off my view of the mountains to the north. It has increased the noise level to the point where I have to close my windows in the evenings because it's so loud. And when I went to the right people to discuss this with, they said, too bad, too sad, type of answers, and that's paraphrasing. You know, we're not going to come out there and listen to your sound and how your levels are. But I'm sure they're above any suggested levels that had been prior to the actual construction. Instead of holding it in, it's, the walls have actually sounded making it louder in some ways. And I know it's not scientific terms for it, but got a little different than what was suggested is what I'm saying. And so I bought it into it with this understanding, and the understanding wasn't kept. So I would like to make sure that I do my due diligence on this, and I thank you very much, and I do thank those from the utility department. I recently went to the utilities commission meeting, and it was very good to meet the people there that are working very hard and to get a sense of their the staff and the chairperson. They're very involved. They're not people that are up there just for the heck of it. They're doing it due diligent work, and I'm really pleased to be able to relax into their understanding and their educations, but also they're good people. And so I'd like to encourage everybody that can. I'm headed to the Supreme Court now to listen to some oral arguments and getting to see the justices in their frame of being. And so thank you very much for your patience, and thank you very much for your hard work.
Thanks. All right. Thank you. All right. Any other public comment? Good morning.
Good morning, Board. My name is Stacey Sept. I am the Director of Community Development with Nevada Rural Housing Authority, and I just had a few minor questions, if I may.
Up here first.
I'm sorry?
Address the questions to us, please, and then we'll shoot it over there.
Okay. My first question is, do you know what the intent is on the parcel to the east that's outlined in blue?
We said that is reserved at this stage for fire department potential use.
Okay. And then whose responsibility will it be to rezone the property? Is that going to fall on the city or the proposer?
Well, it'll go to the proposer, but then we'll have to make a decision here.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
You bet. No problem. Right. Say hello to everybody over there, rural housing.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Any other public comment? I don't see any. Board, are we okay on this one? Motion's in order. Supervisor Bagwell.
So I'm pleased to be able to do this. We've been working on the housing task force for quite a while, so I move to approve the RFP as described on the record and direct staff to publish the RFP.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion. Hearing and seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay, we're going to recess as the Board of Supervisors, but let me just go back and make one comment, one thank you comment to Supervisors Bagwell and Supervisor Bunkowski on that RFP for getting in the middle of that and going down to, you know, helping make sure we're crossing the T's and dotting the I's on that. I have to leave to go take care of a pretty critical meeting for the Nevada League of Cities, of which I'm the president. So when I turn the gavel over to Supervisor Bagwell, she's going to take the Redevelopment Authority. She's chair of that, but she'll complete the meeting. And so I just want everybody to know, you know, this is one of those things where I can't get out of it, and it's a pretty critical meeting. Last, and I know this is maybe out of order, but would Pierre Antakis please stand up? This is Pierre Antakis, our newest deputy DA. Is she going to be assigned here? Or is she going to, oh, she's going to be doing?
Well, I'm still looking at the assignments.
Okay, all right.
That's his way of saying mind your own business.
Well, you know, Dan, I've known her since she was in diapers. That's true. Known her brother, too. So do the right thing. All right. I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you. Pierre, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? We'll be in recess and turn the gavel over to Supervisor Bagwell for redevelopment. Thanks.
We're going to stand in recess for about 5 minutes.
Thank you, guys.
No problem. You know what? I never miss an opportunity. Okay, I'm going to call the Redevelopment Authority to order and let the record reflect. All members are present except for the mayor. Do we have any public comment? Come on over.
Guess the light's been perpetuated. Danny French, Carson City, Nevada. I may not have mentioned that the first time. I apologize. The next thing is I wanted to take some of the literature back here, and I didn't want to disturb the whole packet, but I don't need the whole packet. Is it possible that if I take these that I let someone know so that they can restock that particular packet, or how would I deal with that? I didn't get it in the five-minute break.
That's okay. You're fine.
Should I let them know which pages I've taken?
You're right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
5 minutes ran fast. Yeah, it was longer than five. Okay. Is there any other public comment? Okay. Then we'll move on to approval of the minutes of July 18, 2019. Did everyone have a chance? I'll accept a motion.
Move to approve the minutes of the Carson City Redevelopment Authority for July 18th, 2019, with the previously submitted typographical correction.
There's a motion and a second for approval of the July 18, 2019 minutes with a small typographical correction. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to item 18A on action concerning a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding the expenditure of $20,000 from the FY 2020 Redevelopment Fund for Fuji Park Master Plan. Mr. Plemmel.
Good morning, Lee Plemmel, Community Development Director. I'll just start by noting the two items on the redevelopment agenda this morning are both for authorizing expenditures. Just a reminder, for redevelopment, funds get put in the budget, but it takes a particular action, specific action for the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors to authorize expenditures individually. These two items today are expenditures that we're waiting for more information. You've approved a lot of the redevelopment expenditures at a past meeting, but these are two that are remaining for approval. And in fact, this first one related to $20,000 for the Fuji Park Master Plan was something that was added based on discussion at a prior Board of Supervisors meeting. There was some cost savings in expenditures to the Fuji Fairground sound system, and that money was shifted over to be allocated towards this project so that a master plan could be completed prior to any other expenditures being authorized at Fuji Park. I think that's a general explanation. It's self-explanatory, $20,000 for the park master plan. Jennifer Budge is here from Parks and Recreation if you have any questions.
Is there any questions?
Not necessarily questions, but just a comment. First, I wanted to thank staff for bringing this item forward. I've been asking for it for several years, so it's good to see it move forward. And then I just want to make sure that in the scope of work for the master plan that we make sure that we answer the question of what the appropriate capacity of Fuji Park is based on traffic, circulation, and parking.
Is there any other question? Mr. Jomey?
Is the master plan looking at the park and the fairgrounds or just the park? The whole shebang.
Both.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll take a motion.
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the expenditure of $20,000 for the Fuji Park and Fairground Master Plan.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the table to approve $20,000 for the Fuji Park Master Plan. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. 18B is on the $12,000 for the Mills Park signs. Mr. Plemmel.
Thank you again. Yeah, this is for $12,000. This is another expenditure that was in the budget and in the allocation plan for this fiscal year, along with signs for other parks. They're ready to move forward with these signs for Mills Park. It's a replacement of existing signs with new signs in accordance with the department's signage master plan, which you have copies of. So it'll be signage for Mills Park consistent with that.
Is there any questions? Brad? No question? Any public comment on this item? Okay, I'll accept a motion.
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the expenditure of $12,000 for Mills Park signs.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve item 18B for $12,000 for Mills Park sign. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll go to final public comment for the Redevelopment Authority. Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn as the Redevelopment Authority and reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. We'll move on to item 22A. By procedural rule, can I just incorporate all of the discussion under 18A to be replicated for 22A? Is there any further discussion or questions?
Yes, also procedural, since is the quorum reduced for these two items, so the two-thirds required vote will actually be a 75% required vote?
No, because there's no abstention here, just an absence. The quorum reduction rule doesn't apply, so we still need four out of the five.
So we need four out of four.
Four out of four.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll accept a motion.
I move to approve resolution number 2019-R25.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? So we had a unanimous four requirement, so it passes. Item 22B, again, will be incorporated information from 18B. Is there any further questions? Any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll accept a motion.
I move to approve resolution number 2019-R26.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to approve item 22B. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carried unanimously, so 22B has been approved. Okay, we're going to move to 22C. This is an item for a final subdivision map known as Schultz Ranch Phase 4. Heather, are you going to take us through this one? Thank you.
Heather Ferris, Associate Planner for the record. So this is a request for a final subdivision map for the fourth and final phase of the Schultz Ranch Common Open Space development. Phase 4 is located in the northeast portion of the development, north of Racetrack Road, and approximately 1,000 feet west of Bigelow Drive. Phase 4 contains 100 residential lots as well as common area lots. This is the tentative map, which the board approved at their October 20th, 2005 meeting. The map has been kept alive over the years through a combination of extensions and a development agreement. As most of you likely remember, when the board heard the final map for Phase 3 back in November of 2017, an issue was raised with regard to the off-site drainage. Since that time, the developer has been working to perfect the necessary easements for the off-site drainage. The improvements have been partially installed, but following approval of Phase 3 and recordation of the final map, a question was raised regarding the legality of the easements, where the improvements were located. To date, the developer has reached a verbal agreement with all parties involved, and they're working towards getting signatures on the easements. A bond has been posted with the city for Phase 3 of the development, which includes completion of the necessary drainage improvements. Staff has also worked with the developer to identify an alternative that would not require any third-party involvement. And this alternative would be implemented in the event the developer is unable to secure the necessary easements for the improvements as currently designed. This is the final map before you today. Staff has found that the developer has met all of the conditions of approval and has posted securities for the required improvements, and is recommending approval of the final map. Dustin Barker with Lamar is representing the project and is here and may wish to address the board. I'm available for questions as well as Dan Stuckey.
Okay. Questions? Supervisor Barrett?
Yes. Who are all parties involved on the verbal agreements?
Yes, so Dan Stuckey, city engineer for the record. The agreement, the parties involved would be the South Meadows HOA, the president of the association down there, as well as the property owners that would be giving easements in the South Meadows Estates, and then Lennar.
Not the city?
The city would, as part of, would be accepting drainage easements moving forward to allow that drainage to go down. There's also a detention pond down there that the city would be accepting as well. We're looking into rolling that into the landscape maintenance district as it is a part of the drainage facilities connecting the entire Shoals Ranch development. So that is the intention of the city to move forward after all parties can agree.
Thank you.
Supervisor Bonkowski.
So is staff satisfied with everything that's been done to remediate the drainage issue? And if not, what is the city's recourse to make sure that remediation is appropriate?
Yes, so I think as the board knows, this has been in the works for a long time. There's been a lot of back and forth. The city has been involved. I believe Lennar has, come to the table offering solutions. And I think the plan that we have today is a good one. I think it's the plan that, if it works out, is the plan we need to go with. I guess the recourse is the city does have a bond for the improvements with Lennar. So if for some reason the agreement could not happen, there's that plan B that we could use the bond money as far as to build. So I think we have comfort that this will work out in the direction that it's heading.
The alternative to their proposal doesn't involve obtaining easements?
There's a public utility easement that runs along the east side of the parcels of the South Meadows Estates, just east of Coffee Drive, where we would essentially, plan B would be to realign the storm drain into those public utility easements, which wouldn't require easements from those private properties.
And maybe you can't answer this. What is their timeline? I'll ask them. What is their timeline to get the easements and the documents signed and completed? Have they told you?
So I can give an update on my end. What I've heard, Lennar might know more. The HOA has a meeting, I think, next Wednesday, September 11th, to basically approve the agreement, I guess, between them and Lennar and move forward and sign those easements. So we hope to have everything resolved and signed shortly after that meeting or at that meeting. So that is the time frame that I've heard. I don't know if Lennar's heard anything other than that.
So given that, what would be the harm in waiting to approve this until those easements are completed?
I think Lennar probably should address that question.
I just have a concern. In my previous job, there is significant water that moves through that area. I've seen significant water move through that area, and I've seen properties damaged down there, and I'm concerned about that. So I'd certainly love to hear from Lennar in terms of, why we shouldn't wait to approve this until the easements are signed and it's tucked away and put to bed.
Dustin Barker with Lennar Homes. So here to address the concerns. So a couple of things in regards to the final map. One, the drainage improvements that we're discussing here is a different phase of what we're going for the final map, but I'll come back to that. In regards to your concern about there being a drainage problem, the drainage improvements that were approved with that final map have been installed. So the drainage facility, there is places to go for the water to go. Those have been installed. The South property owners of that association didn't like the alignment of where that pipe was in the street. And so they're wanting us to take it out basically and put it 15 feet to the left in that same road. So it's not as if there's not drainage improvements that are done. The approved plans by Carson City have been done. The remaining work that's all left is just to repave the where the trench is of that pipe. So as far as the concern of the homesteads do drain in accordance with engineered plans that were approved, the current approved plans that are in place for that phase. So that's one thing just to address the concern of safety and things. Second, you know, the site for the final map that we're talking about does not drain to this area at all. It drains to the north. There's a retention pond up to the in the northeast corner. So this final map has, from a drainage standpoint, has nothing to do with that area that there's a concern. As Dan talked, I don't have any further update than what Dan had. We do have a verbal update. We talked about timing. We've put numerous proposals out. We've gotten numerous verbal agreements by the property owners to the south. It's a homeowners association, and so the board changes over. And as that's changed over, we've had to kind of restart and redo. The documents that are in front of them were sent probably 2 months ago. They've done their diligence on them. We've gotten the verbal that the actual board has met. They're waiting for their formal meeting, you know, kind of like this forum, to be able to ratify, and that's what is on September 11th. So we're optimistic that once we get those easements, we can then go redo the drainage improvements in this new alignment and meet some of their other concerns that they were looking for. And then, you know, worst case, if that doesn't happen, we do have a plan B, as Dan mentioned, that utilizes a public utility easement that doesn't need the required signatures of these homeowners.
So does staff agree with those comments?
Ms. Sullivan?
Hope Sullivan, planning manager. I want to talk about framework for a second and not necessarily specific to this project. When the board, and you know this, when you see a tentative map, you see an entire tentative map. And you create conditions of approval for that entire tentative map. When you consider a final map, regardless of whether it's a phase of a final map or if the tentative map doesn't have phases, we revisit all of those conditions of approval. And we have to be able to make each of those conditions of approval. We have to be able to tell you these can all be met. I want to focus for a second on condition or finding number 8, which says, prior to submittal of any final map or parcel map, development engineering shall approve all on-site and off-site improvements. To kind of revisit quickly what Dan and Heather already told you, this board approved a final map for Phase 3. After that final map was approved, the city received a cease and desist letter. That is when it came to the DA, and Dan maybe want, I think I'll get this right, it came to everyone's attention, including the DA, that there was a question about the lawfulness of the easements. So at the time of Phase 3, we weren't aware of that. We are now aware of that. And Lennar and the city staff and the HOA have been all working fairly aggressively to resolve it. But I don't want this board to think that we only look at the findings based on a phase. We look at all of the findings for every single phase, regardless of which phase benefits.
Thank you. I mean, I think that's appropriate. So then I guess I'd like to ask you again, what would the harm be in bringing this back in a meeting 2 weeks from now or the first meeting in October when you've got those easements in place? Is time a critical crunch for you?
Yeah, I mean, time is a critical. We were trying to put this final map in front of you guys probably 3 months ago. We've been waiting to try to get everybody comfortable with what they've, now that we have people comfortable, that we've got staff approval on this. So our timing is we've stopped building homes in that fit in with that product line that would be going on in this phase. Mm-hmm. So we've stopped building homes out there until we get this final map done. The improvement plans have been approved and bonded for, and the improvements are done. So if you go out there, my joke is it used to be an old racetrack, now it's a new racetrack because there's paved streets, but it's a different configuration. But we're ready to build homes, and we're ready to pull a building permit as soon as this final map goes. And that's what our intent is. We've invested not just the money for the land, but additional money to go put the improvements in. So that's why I would, you know, hedge to move forward with it. As far as us being at the table to be able to get these things resolved, we won't rehash all the history of all this whole issue. But there's debate on the legality of the easements and everything else. We're trying to do the right thing for everybody in the neighborhood and for the city. We've worked really hard with these guys, and they've worked really hard with us. to probably try to get resolution where everybody gets some satisfaction as what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, that's what our goal is. I mean, we build communities. I mean, that's what our business is. And so part of building a community is not just the homes that we built, but also the homes and the neighborhoods that are surrounding us. And hopefully you guys have seen that we've demonstrated that out at Shoals Ranch with the various the parks and the bike paths and the various things that we've been able to accomplish out there. So my request would be to move forward with the final map. Because if not, then I've stopped my development, basically, of building the actual homes. So that would be my request.
Dan, can I ask one more question, and then I think I'm done. In terms of the easements, how did that come to our attention in terms of the legality of the easements? Was the city involved? Were there other homeowners involved? Was it an issue on the city's part, on the developer's part? Nobody's fault?
A lot of questions there. Good questions. Try to address that holistically. You know, as Hope alluded to earlier, what happened was the city had received a cease and desist letter from the council for the South Meadows HOA. And what was contained in that letter was a reference to what they believed to be an unlawful transfer of easements from the homeowners. So it was the unit owners of those property parcels because they were subject to approval from the HOA board. The contention there was that they did not receive approval from the HOA board, and therefore any transfer or conveyance of those easements were illegal. And once we received notice of that, that's when we contacted Public Works, and then that's when that, you know,
okay.
The process of debate and discussion initiated.
I understand. So the property owners granted easements, which the HOA felt were theirs to grant.
That's the long and the short of it, yes.
Okay, thank you.
So I guess I have a question a little bit differently. So let's talk about that you don't receive permission on September 11th. I want to talk about the plan B and make sure that we have strong enough conditions in here because you've indicated that, great, the city would have a bond, but the city's not in the business of really taking bonds and building things. So where is your obligation for plan B to go put it in the public utility and actually build it? I don't want to pull a bond and is this strong enough language? Shouldn't it be that if, kind of going along with what Stacy says, wouldn't we rather write something that says if by, I don't know, October 15th you haven't secured the easements from the Homeowners Association, that you would then build whatever plan B is?
As far as our obligations are, right. So right now as we sit, just a little bit of history, right now as we sit, we've built the improvements that have been approved by the city. So we've done that. We're trying to avoid conflict between homeowners and residents, city, and everything else. I mean, we're to cost us. I mean, it's going to cost us money to rip out improvements and put back in. So we have the best interest to be able to go do that. When I say that you have the bond, it's not to say that I'm saying, hey, you go pull the bond and you guys can do it. We're out there building homes. We're present. We've still got a couple years left to be out there. So it's not as if we're going anywhere. But the mechanics of the subdivision improvement agreements and bonds and improvements to give the cities security as far as if the work's going to get done is that facility. So it's, I guess when we say bonds, it's not to say, oh, well, you guys have a bond so you guys can deal with it. It's more just to say that you've got that process in place and it's there. For us, and I'll speak for myself, and I'm sure I'll speak for these guys, we would all love for this to be done. We were days away from having all the improvements 100% complete when we got the cease and desist letter. It's a tough process when you're dealing with a homeowners association because you're dealing with individual homeowners and a board, and there's just a lot of parties involved. And so we're trying to accommodate all of them. So I guess we're committed to be able to get that done. We still have building permits to pull. We have CFOs to do. We have bonds out there. There's plenty of obligations that we have to the city and to that community. To continue what we're doing out there, so I feel like there's ample evidence for that, and I would hopefully the staff can appreciate the effort that all of us have put into it. That we're not trying to, you know, make this problem go away easily. We're trying to do the right thing, which has been harder, but we're really close right now. And then the plan B option about going to the public utility easement is another option where we wouldn't have to go through the homeowners. I mean, the real issue with what's tough is that the streets that we're talking about are owned by the individual parcels, right? So our final map, you see, you know, you've got home sites and then you've got streets or separate parcels. In that community, it's not the case. So the home site goes into the street. So you've got multiple people that own 50 feet of the street. And so that's what's been the difficulty as far as timing goes. And the HOA president or the SOA president that's in place right now, very confident. She seems very encouraged to be able to get this done. All parties involved, including them, are ready to get resolution to it. So I think we're really, really close.
I still just hesitate, but let me try it differently. The improvements that have been completed are not accepted by the city yet. Is that correct? Therefore, they're not complete. I mean, you've done work, but it's not completed because we haven't signed off that it's met the conditions and that it's completed.
So they're not accepted by the city. That's correct.
Right. They are unaccepted by the city, and therefore the conditions have not been technically met from the city side to check the box off. Okay. So if they don't get an agreement and you get a different order from the HOA, which is take it out, then they still don't meet the conditions, and they would have to do what? Go to the plan B, and you would hold them accountable to build that, to be able to close out that project, right? I just want to be clear.
I don't know the way that you described it, and I'll let maybe you guys have a better answer. When you say that the conditions haven't been met because the city hasn't accepted it, I don't believe there's a condition that says that improvements have to be accepted for the condition to be met. I don't have the conditions in front of me, but so to say that a condition isn't met because the city hasn't accepted the improvements, I don't know if that's not.
Then we'll fix it in this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just.
That's what I want to get.
It's a close call, but I don't know technically.
Okay. Well, are you suggesting that you add language, for instance, an alternative that will not require third party involvement that has been identified and will be implemented? Maybe adding language by the applicant in the event the developer is unable to secure the necessary. I mean,
I want more strength in this because I know we have a dispute. I don't know. I want to talk about it. Go ahead, Fred.
So I'm going to ask staff one more time. If we approve this today, the final map, do we have your assurance that the improvements will be built to the city's specifications and that the drainage system will work out there? And as part of that approval, are you precluded from approving any COs on homes that are built in phase four because this condition has not yet been completed?
I think there's a couple questions there, but as far as obviously we're close on option A, and everybody's hopeful that that'll work out. I think we have a good option B that I'm comfortable if option A doesn't work, we will move to option B, and I think that it will work at this point. It's at a conceptual level right now, but I think it'll work. As far as COs on phase...
Well, before we go on, what I just heard you say was not that you're going to give us an assurance that this is going to get done. What I heard you say is that you think that plan A could get done, and if it doesn't, that you think plan B would get done, but that's not a yes.
If plan A is approved at the HOA, plan A will get, if they sign off, obviously plan A will get done. Plan B, from what we've seen, don't have final engineering plans that we've signed off on, but plan B looks like a viable alternative, but I can't tell you right now because I haven't signed off on, we're still with plan A. So I can't tell you right now plan B because we haven't got to that final design, final plan level yet. So that's my level of comfort right now.
Then the next question was, are we precluded from approving C of O's on homes in phase four if the improvements are not completed?
So we have an improvement agreement on phase three that is connected to those drainage improvements. As Lennar mentioned, I think phase four, in their opinion, and I think probably in it's separated somewhat from this drainage issue that we're trying to resolve. So I think having and maybe Hope can help me with this, but as far as not issuing COs on phase four, I'm not sure if we can tie that back to the drainage improvements on dealing with phase three that we're talking about.
Well, but I heard Hope say that you revisit every condition for every phase, and this is not a completed condition for phase three. If the drainage isn't built so that it works to everybody's satisfaction or to, it's not a legal system because the easements are still in question. So the improvements at this point cannot necessarily stay where they're at. And if they can't stay where they're at, then they haven't met the condition. So what I hear everybody else up here saying is that we're not getting the answer that this is going to be resolved. And so Stacy is asking, why can't we wait until we know that they have Plan B in place before we move forward with approving the map for Phase 4? Because we're not getting the answers that we want to hear up here.
Or a stronger B.
Can I comment?
Certainly.
We're talking about Plan A and Plan B right now, okay? I'd almost say that those are Plan B and those are Plan C. Plan A is to go with the improved plans that have already been approved by you guys and the improvements that are in. These easements that we're discussing, that we're trying to get resolution to, there's a dispute in far as the legalities that the HOA is saying that they're illegal. In our position as Lennar, we're saying they are legal. And so there is a dispute there that's being handled. And so that is Phase A. We've already passed that, and we're saying, all right, you know, we're going to try to do the right thing and make everybody's life in here a lot easier and not have litigation, because I don't feel anybody wins in those situations. If that means we've got to step up to the table to try to find alternatives, then we're going to do that. And so what we're on the table right now as far as Plan B is, and Plan C is, different options than what's already been approved, what's already been constructed, and what's already, in our opinions, the city has easements and we have easements. There's a debate whether those easements are legal or not. And that could be drawn out forever. And I don't think anybody wins in that situation. So in order for us to be able to try to move forward, and that's what we're trying to do, we've been working on this very diligently. And your guys' staff has worked really hard too, to be able to work with this HOA. We had agreement with them a year ago. They switched over their board members. The new board came on. They had a new, I don't want to say attack plan, but they just had a new attack plan to it. We had to redraw stuff, and we're really close right now to be able to get that done. And in that, I think all parties, including the other HOA, I mean, I wish they were here so they could, I don't want to talk on their behalf, but we're going to accomplish what everybody wants to accomplish and avoid a litigation between individual homeowners and HOAs and us and the city and everything else. So I feel like we've stepped up to the table to be able to try to satisfy those things. And we're trying to lay out multiple options in case we can't get agreement with third parties that we don't have any control of, to be able to get that accomplished.
I get that. Mr. Barrett.
Thank you for that. I listened very carefully to everything you said, and I appreciate the fact that you got to the point where you finally told Supervisor Giomi that it was basically money that makes you worried about time frames. And I recognize there's money involved. I probably have said up here about 80 times during my term that one of the problems with government is you either work too fast or we work too slowly. But you need those agreements. I can't support this because you either get those agreements or you get this done. So I'm just letting people know before the discussion, I can't support this because we need everything in place before we go forward.
So let me ask staff in a different light, because I think our objective here is to be fair to both parties. And so I just don't feel that the language is potentially strong enough. And is there language that can resolve the need for Lennar Homes, but also protect the city and the Phase 3 homeowners in the event? Because what I don't want to see is a project that goes to litigation and 2 and 3 years later, you lose and the judge says take it out, and then it is going to be the city holding the bag with a bond. So I'm looking to see if there's some language that we can come up with that says something to the extent of that you're responsible for whatever the resolution is for that drainage. So if you don't get the agreement from the homeowners, then you have to get an acceptable drainage plan with the city and build it. I mean, that's really my concern, is I don't want 2 and 3 years from now we didn't do our job and now I have a drainage problem for Phase 3. If that makes sense, what I'm saying.
It makes sense to me. But okay. Can I make one more comment? We all know this, but this is a final map. As Hope said, this is a final map. This is our last chance to get it right. So I just want to put that out there.
And I feel like you do have those right now. And to your point, this is a final map. And this is a final map on a piece of property that, I mean, we recently bought the piece of property that we're talking about on the final map. And if it was a different developer, it'd be a different situation because it'd be even tougher because they're not even in my share where I've got to be able to manage all these different parties and relationships. I feel that you do have those things in place right now to be able to get us to get those things done as far as the conditions go. As far as we have to come into you every month and pull probably 7 or 8 building permits. We come in every month and have 7 or 8 COOs that are getting pulled. So there is stuff that this isn't a small project of a couple home sites that we're in and out of. We're still going to be there for a handful of years. We've got a park that's out there that we're hopeful to get dedication to you guys in probably a month or so. I was out there today. It looked great. I was really impressed by it. So I think that you have those things in place.
Mr. Schultz.
Thank you. Darren Schultz, Public Works Director, for the record. Everything that's been said is certainly accurate. Lennar has been working on this for years. The city has been helping. A number of you have been involved. Trying to get it to resolution, especially the last few months. We've been on the phone. We've been in meetings every single day to try to get it resolved. Where we are today, staff, we just barely got comfortable with what we brought before you today. We would really like to have that line signed, but we barely got comfortable with the discussions we've had, the email that was provided, that this is a done deal. But it all goes up to, if you're not comfortable today, I would, rather than add language into it, I would punt this 2 weeks. We either have that signature or we don't, and then we move forward. I know Lennar is anxious to go, and we're trying to help them, and we agree that Lennar is doing everything they can to try and get us there, but we need that signature. That's where we're at.
Thank you. Please explain to me, if their meeting is the 11th and we put this up 2 weeks, that's the 19th. Why would a 2-week delay cause such detriment to your project?
I wouldn't associate 2 weeks and detriment in the same sentence. Okay, so I'm in agreement with you. I guess what my point is that we were intending to have this final map done 3 months ago. In my opinion, this final map is separate from what we're talking about right now. There's plenty of other conditions. There's plenty of other securities that the city has in place regarding these improvements. The improvements are in dispute as far as whether they're done in accordance with what everybody wants and how they want them to have done. The city holds easements right now. We have hold easements right now. I have arguments to say that those easements are good. Despite all that, we're still going to spend the time to try to do what's right for everybody. And that's what we're trying to do right now. To say that my other project that isn't associated with this at all is going to get held up because of this drainage pipe that's a couple hundred feet long, that there is something in the ground that it is, from a safety and a health standpoint, there is something to facilitate it. I've been accommodating, I guess, I feel, and that's why I'm pushing to, I guess, move forward with it. But to be a detriment for 2 weeks, it's not a detriment. It's just more of, I just want to hold all of us to keep going, right? And it's tough when we're in positions where we're trying to accommodate with these third parties who aren't represented today. Like I mentioned, I wish they were here so that we could talk through this. So is 2 weeks detriment? No. It's just more of, I've already waited 3 months to get to this chair. I mean, we submitted the map back in June, I think it was. And so we've been patient. We've sent the final agreements that we've talked about, the HOA says that they're good with, on July 15th. So it was almost two months ago. And so it's tough to, when you don't have complete control of those things, it's tough. That's, I guess, what my concern is.
Madam Chair, I'd like to propose a motion to table this item and bring it back to the next meeting.
Sorry, I'll accept a motion. It went off. Sorry.
Motion is previously read.
Okay, and we have a second. Any discussion on the motion?
Good motion.
Okay. All those in favor of tabling, or we'll just bring this agenda item back the next meeting so we can have a resolution. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 23. Do we have any future agenda items or review projects or correspondent or comments? Mr. Giomi? Any?
I don't have any.
Okay.
Would it be possible, Darren, to get an update on the asset management plan at one of the upcoming meetings? No rush, sometime in the next month or two.
Okay. Yeah, I do have a comment, though, for a future meeting. Supervisor Bonkowski mentioned at a previous meeting about having some sort of an agenda item relative to Title 18 input. And I know that I was catching Lee before he left. I know that planning has started their meetings to review Title 18, and I would like to get that on a agenda in the near future so we can provide some input to them before they get too far down the road and don't have an opportunity to consider our input. And I know the next meeting is going to be short-staffed from our standpoint, so maybe the first October meeting, okay, if that works.
Okay. Mr. Barrett, did you have anything?
Yeah, I'd like to ask our city manager for a brief report on the status of the, I don't know, it might be down, I didn't drive past there, the item at the McFadden Plaza that's supposed to come down.
Still up yesterday.
And also, it is down?
No.
I didn't think so.
It was still up yesterday.
And yeah, yesterday I saw it was. Mm-hmm. And secondarily on A-frame signs that are out in front of businesses. As I understand, our ordinance says one per business. Mm-hmm. Can we get a, not now on that, but a report at some point on how that's going and how code enforcement's going on that?
Okay. Is there any staff or comments for the board? You can do it in the next item under public comment. Thank you.
Laurie, just also one more thing. I don't know if you guys saw the Cultural Commission's agenda item or their agenda. Just wanted to point that out as the board's representative to the CTA. But the Cultural Commission is proposing a resolution to recommend extension of the sunsetted 1% room tax for the arts and cultural position. And the recommendation is to bring it forward to either the Board of Supervisors or the CTA. You know, we'll see where that goes. I don't want to presuppose what they will do, but it could come before us or it could go before the CTA. So if it comes to the CTA, I'll report back, obviously, what's happened. But just wanted to let you know that was out there.
I'm sorry. Could I ask a question on that? For how long? You said to
remove the sunset. I haven't.
Remove it. Completely.
Correct. Thank correct. You.
Okay. Any other? Anything that the staff needs to bring forward? Well, that was easy. Okay, then we'll go on to item number 24. We're in general public comments, so please state your name.
Thank you, Omar Afifi. Thank you, Omar Afifi, Universal Development. It's regarding item 13 that you, thank you, you approved regarding the RFP for the public work for the property on Budai Way. One thing that we noticed on the draft RFP that was approved today is you're requiring five successful development of this type of HUD housing. My partner and I have one large size development that was done, completed about 8 years ago, and it's a successful HUD housing Section 4 development, 226 units. So it will be a little slightly larger than what would this one be allowed by the city's guideline. And it was a successful project. We were the contractor and the developer, basically the owner of the project. And it still exists still today, but we cannot meet the threshold of the five properties in the state. Could that be interpreted in a different way than it's a must or maybe a recommended or up to five? Or is it if you do not have five successful development for low-income housing, you do not qualify to propose on this RFP?
I can look. Is it a may? I can't remember which way we wrote it. We'll have to refer to staff and really go back and look whether we put a may or a must. Can't remember. or if that was just one of the grading things. So
okay.
We'll get with you.
Okay.
I don't know if Darren can remember on the RFP whether we had that as mandatory.
I would. My recollection is that was the general, in terms of background experience that you needed to get forward. But I don't believe that it's you would be disqualified because you don't have it. I believe that would, your rating in terms of review.
That's the way I remember it as well. So if you submitted a proposal and you only had one completed project and there were five other submitters that met the five property condition, then your application is probably not going to make the cut. But if there are no other proposers, then I would suppose that your application would be submitted. That's the way I remember working through the RFP.
Yeah, we do RFPs all the time, and I know it's on the scoring guideline. I thought to help out smaller developers like myself rather than the ones that have been around for 30, 40 years, because according to I spoke to HUD a few times, and they would rather new blood is the word they used for these kind of development. If that section could be lowered to one, or do you see it as you'd rather keep it at five?
No, I think the intent was to keep it at five because this is the first time we've done a project like this, and so we're looking for very experienced developers. Right. So otherwise we have a case of maybe the blind leading the blind.
Right. And I would like a final question to Public Works.
You have to direct it forward, please.
Okay, so we have... So the 226 unit project was done in multiple phases. Could that be listed as and multiple permits, each permit a separate project? Or because it asked for aerial view of the site. So the aerial view would just show a very large 226 unit development. But there are three phases with three separate permits. Would that be treated as three projects or as one project?
We're not going to answer that here. Your job would be to apply if you're interested, and then the rating committee will review what your response is. So we just suggest that you submit it in the way that you think it's appropriate.
Okay. There's also a date to submit written questions to staff to get those answers, so that it would be appropriate for you to submit these questions to staff by that submittal date.
And I understand the process very well, the RFI process. And think the only thing I was told is today is the last day. If I were to want something in the draft RFP changed, today is the last day for me to change it. And I was hoping that requirement would be changed, but obviously it can't be changed. And I understand.
Too late. You needed to be here during the item.
I understand. Heather. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Sheriff?
Hey. Things are on. I thank you for the opportunity, Sheriff, for the record. I sent the mayor and the city manager and folks a copy of an email, kind of giving you a heads up of some activities that were on the crust of taking place. Yesterday morning, I was made aware that the Carson City School District has been awarded a substantial grant for the safety of the schools. In that grant, it is staffed and approved for two officer positions to be added to our schools. I just wanted to bring this to you today before you read it in the newspapers or other ways around. I did sit down with IFC yesterday and created a plan on how we were going to get it to you. It's probably going to take, I believe, the board after the next one, right? About 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. Because that's probably the most efficient way of getting all of the information combined in together. So I just wanted to take this opportunity and let you folks know before it hits the press, and I think it's going to hit the press today, that the school district has been awarded, and we are working closely with them to bring the information to you folks.
I see a shoulder shrug from the esteemed reporter in the back.
That's not my report.
This is a secret.
Yeah,
not her beat.
Yeah.
So, just wanted to take the opportunity to let you folks know that we are working with IFC, and we'll get it to you folks as rapidly as possible.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other further public comment to come before us? No? Okay, then if there is no objection, we will adjourn. Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you all. Yeah. I wish you would have. Okay. I wish you would have come during the item. Sorry. We're out of order. No. No, but you can have a better discussion and not look at it. Right. And let them do, I would say submit it that way to try and get your point. I tried to just say that. Submit it the way in which you interpret it. That's right. Right?